Ezekiel chapter 16, we're going to read this passage in context, as we should have the other day, but that's all right, we're going to do it now. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. My God, help us. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. And one of the reasons is, ladies and gentlemen, as God is rebuking the children of Israel, because they knew better. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And I have broken that passage down quite a bit in the last two messages. We will continue to deal with it, but in its context. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. This is a reference to homosexuality and sodomy, as it is called, men with men, women with women. Therefore I took them away as I saw good, neither he destroyed, in other words, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because they were committing these abominations, they were going too far. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. And this is what is happening in America today. America today that once stood for God and for Christ. God's name is on our money. God is... has always been a part of our America, and yet many in America, including in the church, have forsaken God and His word and His principles. And now we have many in America and many in the church justifying the abominations of the homosexual nation and community. And it is disgusting in God's sight. And God loves everybody. You can't accuse Him of not loving somebody, but He hates our sin and our abominations and those in the community who take it too far. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou, yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sisters. when I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them. And that's what this whole series is about. For the chosen people of God, if you will, the Christians of today, we condemn our neighbors and their abominations, but our abominations are greater because we know better, including the sin of gluttony. We're full of bread and donuts and bagels and everything else, and pride and stubbornness and haughtiness, and looking down our nose at other people, pointing our fingers at them, yet we have sin in our own lives. You say, well, you're preaching this, preacher will comfort the gays and the homosexuals and the lesbians and the LGBTs and so forth. It should not comfort them, but they do need to know that there's somebody preaching to Christians about our sins. I said ours, because some of us sinned on yesterday, eating too much, gluttony. And what God is saying to the chosen people here, you should not approve of their sins, but you should not approve of your sins either. Amen, somebody. For that will make you a hypocrite. And God does not play that. He doesn't play that game. That thou mayest bear thine own shame, Christians, with most of us fat as a house, and we lie and justify it and try to blame it on glands and thyroids and all this, and when we need to blame it on sitting at the table too long and eating food while watching television until we're stuffed. And then we ask our wives and our husbands, pass me the Pepsi. To do what? To pat down that food so that I could eat something else before I go to bed. Honey, you got anything sweet? You got anything sweet, honey, in there? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about in the refrigerator. That's what we say in the house from the easy chair. You know it. I just want to snack on something, honey. You fat as a house. Are you kidding me? And then when she sit razz back, because she's skinny, I got some cauliflower you can snack on with a little dip I made. They stop you right there. No, you made it. It's not ranch dressing. No, it's olive oil and vinegar. No, don't bring that in here. There's no cheese involved? No. Don't bring that. That's not what I'm talking about, cauliflower. And I don't want no carrots or celery either. That thou mayest bear thine own shame, fat Christians. And nobody's picking on you. I'm talking to myself as well, because nobody loves a good meal like Danny B. No. Nobody. I love it just as much as you. I'm constantly in a mode of celebration. I celebrate everything. And I celebrate it too much. That thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them, when thy sister Sodom and her daughters shall return to their former state, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former state. This is talking about the kingdom. Then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former state. You still see the love of God in the midst of judgment. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria, and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Now speak to our hearts as Christians about our sins. Lord, those three fingers pointing back at us, at the wickedness, the gluttony, and the being full of bread sin. Lord, help us to deal with that before we go around telling other people about their sin. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an uncomfortable subject, particularly the day after Thanksgiving. I spared you on yesterday, and I spared myself. I was not going to do it, but God laid on my heart another message for Thanksgiving, and it was off the chain. And so I preached so long, I think I preached an hour and a half. And so I canceled the message regarding gluttony on yesterday. But I was aiming for it. But God spared us all. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us Christians. Christians, particularly obese Christians, the fat hanging down on our bodies, overweight, rotund. We have to go to the big and tall elephant giraffe store to buy some cloth to put over us. Some are so fat in the church that they buy material from the store and just throw it on them. Don't you get mad with me. I'm right there with you. And so I'm going to tell you the truth that the skinny folks are not going to tell you. And so it's uncomfortable for many of us, but if you listen and take heed and accept your rebuke, and just like you gleefully like to rebuke others, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. And it is a battle. It will be a battle for most of us gluttons or former gluttons who love to eat. And you cannot hide, my beloved. You cannot hide behind the black shield. You know, the wearing of black all of the time, trying to hide your fat. And foolishly thinking that you're still fine, and you're not. Sir, ma'am, you have deceived yourself. You have bamboozled yourself. You're causing yourself to run amok. You're looking in the wrong mirror. You're looking in your friendly mirror that you have at the house, your skinny mirror. I challenge you to go down to one of my favorite hotel rooms. I forget the name of it. What's the name of it? Say it again. Drury Inn. They have real mirrors. And they'll have mirrors sometimes in the shower. That's the one you need to look. Excuse me. That's the one you need to look at. And then you'll see the real deal. That will even shock you. Fat all over the place. It'll bring conviction. But you won't be able to change that real quick. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this passage, Israel is rebuked by God for engaging in some of the same sins that led to the abomination of homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah, which led to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah many years prior. And so, ladies and gentlemen, one of those sins was gluttony, being or having fullness of bread, all kinds of bread. How many of you go to HEB, you go to Walmart, you go to even Walmart, but the high-end stores like Trader Joe's. My baby daughter and I were in for the first time on a Thanksgiving Eve at Whole Foods, controlled by Amazon now. Go into Kroger's and you see all kinds of bread, and it looks so good, especially that bread that's braided up. My glossy look. You feel like slapping some butter on it in the store and going to town. Full of bread. An abuse of the Lord's abundant supply and provision. One of the biggest problems about our sinful natures, we like to abuse stuff. We go to one extreme or another. We got some who are gluttons like myself, and we go too far overeating. Then we have some who don't eat anything, and they go too far trying to stay skinny. And both, we both people, both individuals, they're abusing their bodies. They're beautiful women. I've never seen this before, nor do I ever want to see it. The Lord knoweth my heart. They're beautiful women who will sit down and eat a full-scale meal and go to the bathroom and stick something down their tongue or down their throat to vomit it all up. They just want to eat it for the taste, but they don't want the weight. I don't know what they are doing. I don't know what they call it, bulimia or whatever. They got a name for it. I call it nasty. That's nasty. And it is a form of abuse to the body. Their pride led to their overconfidence in their provisions, which led to the sin of gluttony. And if they were blessed, my dear friends, there has never been a country more blessed than America. We have more bread than what we know what to do with. And many of us saw that on yesterday in Thanksgiving. You had so much food, you didn't know what to choose to eat from the leftovers the next day. You had to sit down and write down what you got in the refrigerator and figure it out, what kind of meal you're going to have now. Leave that alone. Leave that alone. Leave that alone. Focus. You, I'm talking to you. Right here. Focus. Because all their needs were supplied. See, you can get into trouble when everything, you got everything you want sometimes. We become full of bread and idle. They grew hearty and failed to remember where their blessings had come from. Like America, we take for granted. I thank God for the people at HEB. Though whoever they are, those people who hook that salmon, that garlic salmon up, you know what I'm talking about. That breast chicken, they have it already hooked up for you, seasoned, ready to go. All you got to do is pop it in the oven. I thank God for the people at HEB. I thank God for the people at Kroger's. They do a bang-up job. But oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, we, like they, we place our trust in the supply and not in the supplier. And so we violate his principles. We disobey his word. We overdo it. Gluttony also led to an abundance of idleness. What do you want to do after you have had a great meal? Nothing. You want to sit in your idle chair and do nothing and think about what else you're going to eat. What else do you have in the cabinet? what kind of chips, what kind of dip, what kind of sweet thing. And you sit there and you plan out your little trips to the refrigerator in between during commercials. Somebody said the other day, millennials don't know what it means because of Netflix, the benefit of commercials. And during those commercials, you can go and get something else to eat. The abundance of Sodom's provisions and the relative ease by which they gained their food and supplies led many to grow idle. Excuse me. They felt like they did not have to work. They had so much. They spent. They spent their days feasting and pleasure-seeking, running from one party to the next, one bedroom to the next. Everybody had some food by the bed. And they eat, and then they engage in fornication and adultery and homosexuality. When men get tired of, they're so idle, they get tired of beautiful women, then they start looking at each other. You know the devil's in the mix. And I don't care who likes it. You say, preacher, I'll never support you. I'll never send you a dime. That's fine. God has blessed me to preach the gospel for 40 years. I'll keep on keeping on for the Lord. Always pursuing only the gratification of the flesh. And with that, God is not pleased. Christians, their gluttonous mindset also led to a lack of concern for the poor and needy. And it is sad, but it is true. And you know it's true. We throw away more food than we eat. Some of you are throwing away Thanksgiving food right now. When there are people in the world who will feast off that turkey leg you're throwing away for 2 or 3 days. Millions in America will feast. Not only did they do so on Thanksgiving, but the day after, Saturday, listen to me, the reason why I call myself a glutton is because there are many years, and my family and preacher friends and church members would tell you, Thanksgiving was the beginning of feasting. The beginning. For 2 months until January the 10th, and that's a fact. For me and for my family, we took off. There was a time we took off for 2 months, man. Thanksgiving, almost 2 months. Thanksgiving week, all, and we started, bless your heart, we started, man, November the 1st, we started gathering stuff for Thanksgiving. That's a fact. Now, because of God convicting me about that, I had not concerned about my health, but just convicted me that is wrong. This makes 2 years in a row that by the grace of God I fasted for last year 21 days, this year more like 20, to be honest, because I did take a day off on Veterans Day and took advantage of my privileges. And I asked your permission, so don't you get mad with me. If you were not there that day, that's too bad. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, millions in America will feast today, that is on Thanksgiving, because I was supposed to preach this message on yesterday, or the day after. And we kept it going for several weeks. We were so into it one time, man, we would get a Boston butt which you know ain't good for you. Back in the day, I mean about 10 years ago, we would get a Boston butt every year, along with the turkey. You know the Boston butt ain't good for you. But I enjoyed every bit of it. I haven't had it in about 10 years now, but oh my soul. And we kept it rolling in a few years. Have mercy. Y'all forgive me. A few years, man, we would have 5 or 6 turkeys a week, putting a herding on it. Okay? Just celebrating, feasting. Millions, ladies and gentlemen in America, will feast throughout this weekend without a single thought for the many around the world who don't have basic food staples, much less a feast. We are stuffed. We are so stuffed that we throw away food that we don't want. Food that others would count as a luxury. We demand certain brands. Oh, yes, we do. And if you are a foodie like I is and have been, we demand certain brands. No, 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 no. Don't bring no off-brand up in here. It got to have a name that I can recognize. Are you kidding me? And a certain level of quality in the food. It's got to be right in the food production, while millions would be grateful for our so-called food waste. There are many good things that God wants us to take advantage of, and His provision of food is one of those things. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. But too much exercise is bad for you. God does not mind a glass of wine with your meal, but too much is bad for you. Taking too many aspirin is bad for you. Eating too much food, a good thing, is bad for you. He does not want us to abuse His supply and use it as a means by which we become proud, arrogant, indulgent, lazy, full of bread, and insensitive to those who are in need, and judging others, thinking to ourselves that we can receive good things from the Lord and not be punished for our evil behavior. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I only have about 6 more messages in this series, and that would amount to 100 days of preaching on this subject, the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. I've made many enemies over this. I have people who used to listen to me who don't anymore because of this. But I'm pointing out it's disgusting for us to condemn others in their sins, and we gather together in our meetings. Listen to me very carefully. I know you don't like it, and I know there are other people in the church who feels the same way I feel. Everybody is fat as a house, and nobody says nothing, and we still have a table full of food and coffee and everything else and donuts, and everybody just get them a little napkin, stuff that napkin, sit. When I cut it off like that, you know I'm getting ready to step. I'm trying to get us up out of here. And nobody says anything. We meet for our meetings, and if there's 20 people in the room, 19 are fat, obese. Nobody says anything. We just accept it. That's the whole point, people. I'm not saying we all going to totally repent and change and drop the 200 pounds we need to drop, but we ought to be trying, and we ought to accept the fact that we are just as wicked as other people. That's what this whole passage is talking about, who are doing other ungodly things. We need to at least acknowledge it. It needs to rise up as a problem in the church, not some little thing that's over in the corner, you know, and with a nice little wife, the pastor's wife, who says, we're starting a spin class, ladies. And all of them are way heavier than a hippopotamus, knowing that you're going to have insurance issues and they're going to break the bikes and everything else. We have spin classes. Listen to me very carefully. Have you ever seen an elephant on a little bike? It's not pretty. It is not pretty. Excuse me. Don't you get mad at me. Don't you cut me off. I'm telling you the truth. And why is it that we wait to we become elephants and rhinoceroses before we start exercising? It ought not to be, my dearly beloved. And before you get mad at me, watch this. Read my lips. You're going to an early grave. But worse than that, my beloved, worse than that, your quality of life is going to be hell on earth. I'm trying to help you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving celebration. And I would allow you a second help of turkey on Thanksgiving Day. But bless your heart. You can't do and I can't do like we used to do. We can't kill the Boston butt. Just devour it. You talk about the fatted calf. We can't have chicken and turkey and lamb and beef. At some point, we got to stop, and that day is today, my beloved. Don't you get mad at me. I don't know you. I don't know how big you are, but I know you're fat because I see a whole lot of folk in church who are fat as a house, trying to cover it up with black, dark clothes, trying to cover it up with some stylish little throw rug. Are you kidding me? Don't you get mad at me. Don't you get mad with me. Everybody knows what you're doing. No, it's not cute. It's not pretty. I'm just pleasantly plump. I'm a part of the movement of loving the body. Falling in love with your body, no matter how big it is. I'm a part of a body-loving yoga class. You know what that looks like? That's not pretty. Don't you get mad with me. Why don't you just stay in the house and work out in the house? Just go to YouTube. Work out and stop eating. And then complaining. See, I'm trying to help you. Spiritually, you're ashamed of yourself. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You are ashamed of being fat. Don't buy into this lie of accepting it. Accept your body, honey. You look great. You don't let these women lie to you. How many men are saying that? And you're interested in getting a man, right? You're interested in closing the deal on a husband, is that not right? And your sister around there, don't think that anybody tell you don't look good, girl. Look at that throw rug you got on you. That's a pretty throw rug. Don't you get mad with me. And you men as well, you know you're ashamed of your fat gut. You're ashamed of the fact that you got to wear a coat or jacket in the summertime. Because what was once a washboard stomach is a potbelly stomach. Poking out for the whole world. People can see your stomach before you turn the corner and then they can see you. Don't you get mad with me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm preaching real good because I'm preaching to myself. So I'll never listen to him again. That's all right. I got you today. You need to drop some weight. Yes. You need to drop some weight. And Jenny Craig can't help you. You're going to eat all the Jenny Craig food up and have a big old bill and you can't pay. No, you just need to go down to the grocery store and get some fruits and vegetables. That's what everybody's telling me. You got to live on fruits and vegetables. You don't have to become a vegan, but you better become a vegetarian very quickly. So my beloved, I love you. I thank God for you. God has been very good to us fat people. God has been very good to us obese people. You know he has. He's been very patient with us, but he wants us to get this straightened out. So dear friends, if the Lord tarries is coming and we live, next time we will continue looking at what the Bible tells us about overcoming the sin, the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony and the obesity that it brings about in God's plan for man's eating habits. And the main thing God wants us to know, he wants us to be moderate in all that we do. Moderation may not be great in politics, but moderation is the way all Christians ought to live in every area of life. Moderation in eating, moderation in drinking, moderation in exercise, moderation in your little entertainment things you do. Moderation, moderation, moderation. Now, let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your precious holy word. And we thank you, Lord, how that you've dealt with everything that needs to be dealt with in your holy word, the Bible. And you know how to bring it out by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we as Christians need to start stepping against our sins, our little Christian pet sins, our little acceptable sins that they used to be not only sins, but they used to be a part of the seven sins that are the seven worst sins, or the seven cardinal sins. Somehow, some way, Lord, we have tapped that down in the church. Just like, Lord, we have tapped down our acceptable sin of fornication among young people, adultery among married people. We have tapped down on our sin of living in adultery. People don't even know if they're going to hell by getting involved with people that have been divorced and so forth and so on. And yet everybody wants to think you, say you're picking on them. No, we're picking on the sin that is destroying and eating away at the church. And we wonder why our young people don't even want to come to church anymore. And many old people are falling away from the church because sin, like termites, has eaten a hole in the church. And these are sins that we tolerate. We accept. We make ministries for them. Divorce care, separation care, and all other sins we have accepted. So, Lord, is not only gluttony. What is next, Lord, in the church? I don't know. Lying care? People who are liars? Thief care? Everybody got a group? Lord, I don't know. But we need to stop this train somewhere, and we all need to get off and confess our sins and repent and turn from our evil ways and get back to the old landmarks, as the old saints used to sing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, I always give you a practical step or two in the rave diet and lifestyle. Brother Mike Anderson continues sharing the importance of exercise. You say, preacher, did you exercise today? Yes, I did. How about you? We all, most of us need to be exercising every day, by the way. Exercise as a part of your dietary changes. He writes, humans are naturally lazy. And because of our, I'm adding this part, because of our sinful nature. Because we're programmed to conserve energy, he says. In the past, we were forced to exercise to find food, and there was a balance between the calories expended to locate or farm food and the calories we consumed. Only calories we use today to go and get food is to get in our plush cars and go down to the market, which is right around the corner, which we could have walked to. We won't even walk to the grocery store. We're going to drive one block to the grocery store. Lord help us. Today we have created an incredibly artificial living environment that also that's also designed to conserve energy. The result is that many Americans are so inactive, they're practically living their lives in bed rest. Humans in industrialized countries are very much like caged birds. But in our case, we're caged in our chairs and couches. Despite our technical advances, we're still trapped in Stone Age bodies, and those bodies need to be exercised. They need to move just as faithfully as they are fed. Lord help us every day. The best incentive to exercise is that it simply makes you feel wonderful and alive. And I'm sure that everybody can say amen to that. I know that to be a fact. My family and I, we exercise together and have done so for years. And every time we finish, I ask them, how do you feel better? And every last one, no one ever said, oh, I feel worse. They feel better. The blood flowing through your body, up into your brain, it's a good thing. And that's the only reason why I exercise, because I feel better. I can preach better. I can think better. I can write better. And so that's the main reason why I do it. But it helps with the weight as well. But if you need an immediate reason to exercise, here's one you can't resist, he said. You'll enjoy a much better sex life. And that is true. So I'll leave you with that. In closing, as we focus, my beloved, on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose weight. Weight is on my mind. We must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life, but we must lose weight as well. In our spiritual life, even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. You will still die. We all will die, and the only thing that will matter is the condition of your soul. Is your soul in shape? Is your spirit in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? Have you been born again? Have you been saved by the grace of God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell, eternal hell. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again? Pray and ask him to save your soul if you believe in Christ tonight. I've already preached a message about Jesus Christ tonight. If you were here, I'm sure you understand. So trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in him, and he'll save you. And pray and ask him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my soul. In your name I pray, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please let us know that as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. As I said to you, you only have to suffer through 6 more of these messages, and that will bring us to 100 messages in this homily series, The Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony. Lord, have mercy and grace upon our souls, and that God will help us, is my prayer in delivering us from this awful sin, for it is just as wicked as any other sin in God's sight. And he wants it fixed. He wants it changed. He wants us to repent of it and take him seriously.